Welcome to Season 6, Episode 2 of As You Go, a podcast meant to encourage and disciple women who are daily trying to follow Jesus while balancing all of the things in their lives, like work, family, friendships, mental and physical health, and so much more. I'm Kathy, hosting alongside Miranda, our women's pastor.
Hello,
Miranda. And we are so excited today to have Neely Salisbury with us. And Neely is not only a part of our church family, she is a dear friend. And to me, she is a neighbor, and she just rocks our neighborhood. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Neely, thanks for being here. Would you start off by just sharing a little bit about who you are?
Yeah, thanks for having me. So I am originally from Birmingham, Alabama. My husband and I met at the beach, and we're long distance our whole relationship. So I moved to Atlanta right after we got married. And we were there for about 7 years together and moved here 3 years ago now, almost. We have three children. We call it our beautiful chaos. We have 4-year-old twin, boy, girl twins, and a 6-year-old boy. Before we moved here, I was a hairstylist and makeup artist for years, and that was what I loved, my passion. And now I am all things mom. There's never a dull moment in our home. And I love interior design. We like to travel a lot, be outside. So that's kind of where we are.
So this is making so much sense to me now. I didn't know you were, you said hairstylist and makeup artist. No wonder. She always looks so cute.
I know. She's always adorable.
Listen, it's only on Wednesday mornings and Sunday mornings.
Okay, well, on Wednesday mornings, she looks incredible. I actually have seen her out in the neighborhood, and she's always precious. So always precious.
So Neely, how long have you been at Rolling Hills, and how did you get connected?
So when we first moved here, I was so excited about finding a church home because we had come out of COVID and, you know, we weren't in church and it was all watching from online. And I love to be in church and love community. And so for me, I was so excited. And we had this whole list of churches that we wanted to visit. And we went for a walk in the neighborhood that we were living in at the time and ran into this couple and just started chatting with them and hit it off and asked them about where they went to church. And they said Rolling Hills. And that was one of the churches on our list. And so I told my husband, I said, let's just go there first. And I remember walking through the doors and just having a total sense of peace. And I even remember crying because I was like, this is what I have missed so much and what I have longed for. And so it just felt like home. And we have been here ever since. So about 3 years now.
I can't believe it's already been 3 years, but then I also can't imagine life without Neely. So it's also seemed like a lifetime.
Yes. Okay, so Neely, take us back a little bit. Can you just tell us about your faith journey?
So I grew up in the church, and I got saved at an early age. My dad actually led me to Christ when I was 7 or 8, and I got baptized shortly after that. And you know, typical going through high school, going through college. And I really, looking back, wish that I had been plugged in more in the high school ministry. I feel like that's when I started to turn away from my faith and get caught up in the things of this world. And I remember coming out of a bad relationship in my early college years and just really started to fill voids with things of this world. And just kept feeling so empty and knowing all along the life that I was living was not the life that God had for me. And I ran into an old friend and she told me about a ministry that she had been involved in and invited me to come. And so I went and it was like I never felt so strongly the presence of the Lord. And I rededicated my life and really just wanted to get involved in the church. And so my church back in Birmingham, I got involved in the young adults ministry and started doing small groups. Didn't know what small groups were until then. And that's when I really started to understand community and how important community was and just surrounding yourself with other women who are going through the same struggles as you and dealing with all the same things that you are and can be there for you to pray for you and lift you up. And so I feel like that was a huge turning point in my life, was in my early 20s, getting involved in the young adults ministry at my church.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it so interesting, like the power of an invite, like somebody inviting mm-hmm. us to something yes. is so incredible. And can be so powerful in a part of our faith journey. Well, Neely, a little while back, you and I kind of sat down and you were sharing some of your story, some of the parts of your journey with me. And something that really stood out, because I think it's such a powerful part of your testimony, and I think it will resonate with so many of our women, is that season when you transitioned from Georgia to Tennessee. Tell us a little bit about what life was like before the move.
So life was comfortable. Mm. It was very comfortable. Mm. We had community with our CrossFit friends, church friends, neighborhood friends. Like, life was good. I mean, we were happy, content, not much to complain about. I mean, I would definitely say we had just had newborn twins. And so definitely there were still struggles, but the word that I always go back to is comfortable. And I just remember January 2021, my husband was here for work and he called me on his way home and he said, "Hey, I've just been praying a lot while I've been here. And I just have this sense that the Lord is telling us that we need to move to Nashville." It's like, awesome. So like 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And he's like, "No, I think we need to meet with the realtor and put our house on the market." I'm like, "Again, like, when are we talking about?" Mm-hmm. And he's like, "You know, soon." And so we put our house on the market a month and a half later and sold our house in a day.
Wow.
And moved here end of April of 2021. And I just remember the whole time saying, if my husband has peace about this and I know that he has fully surrendered to the Lord in this, and I was also praying, "God, if this is not your will, I pray you would slam this door shut. Mm-hmm. And if it is your will, just continue to give us signs and open up doors and just reveal to us that this is your plan." And he just kept doing that. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, all right, let's go. We're doing this. We're moving to Nashville.
That's a big move, especially with all those littles and the just the community that you had, that foundation where you were. So, mm-hmm. wow.
Right.
So what about once you got to Tennessee? Tell us a little bit about after the move. What was that like?
So I remember pulling into the hotel, because the first night we got here, it was just so late. And, you know, nothing goes as planned on moving day, right? And I sat in the parking lot and I thought, okay, God, what now? Like, what now? Life after the move was very, very tough. It was dark. It was lonely. Honestly, I've never really considered myself feeling depressed until then. And, you know, when you move by yourself, like I did from Alabama to Georgia after we got married, it's a whole nother ballgame when you're moving with your children mm-hmm. too, because you're taking into account their feelings and their emotions. And it's not just you that you have to worry about. And so it was a lot. And I just remember putting my oldest to bed one night when we finally got into our rental house. And he said, "So Mama, when do we get to go back to our other house?" Oh. And I just like buried my head behind his back and started bawling, because I didn't want him to know how upset I was. And I thought, parenting is hard. Like, this is hard. And this new season is going to be hard. But I kept remembering and reminding myself that this is God's plan and the peace that we had, and he's going to get us through this season. I also thought, I have been so comfortable, and now it's time for me to get uncomfortable. And there's time for growth now, because you're not growing if you're comfortable. Mm. And so I feel like that was honestly the biggest realization for me early on, was that I'm about to get really uncomfortable and have to lean on the Lord more than I ever have before.
Right. And I think one of the things we hear so often when women move is just that, how it impacts their identity, because you have an established identity, you know, in your previous place. And now, talk to us about that, Neely. How would you say the move impacted your identity?
I would say more than my identity, I struggled with knowing my purpose. Mm. I felt like I had such a huge purpose in Georgia, and I was pouring into so many people, and so many people were pouring into me. So I went from that to then really nothing. I didn't know anyone. Everything was so new. And I thought so often, what am I supposed to be doing? And it was like the daily routine of motherhood. And it just felt like Groundhog's Day, you know, like it was the same thing over and over and over. And I just would wake up and think to myself, how am I going to survive today? What am I going to get through today? How can I be strong for my kids and my husband and be supportive? But I also felt like I had lost myself in being a friend and being a mentor and being that person that I was in Georgia to so many. And I was longing for that.
So in what ways would you say you experienced the Lord in the middle of one of your most difficult seasons?
I think that he continued to just give me little snippets of himself through, I call them gifts. And the first gift was, I had a friend of mine who we were friends in eighth grade, believe it or not, lost contact and sort of got back in touch with each other when we were pregnant with our first. And I knew that she lived near Nashville. I just remember reaching out to her when we moved here and thought, we've got to get together. And it was just this instant connection that I felt like, I'm not in this alone, because a lot of the same struggles that I was dealing with, she also was dealing with. So it was a place that I could go to vent and pour my heart out and us cry together, and to know that I had someone there with me going through all of that and that I wasn't in it alone was such a sweet gift. And to have the play dates with our circus of kids, as we call it, just knowing that I wasn't alone in that hard, hard season. And I remember I told my husband, I said, I think I need to do some counseling. And I just remember calling up to the church, and Kathy, you answered the phone. And it was just this connection immediately. And I had mentioned that we were building a house, and you said, oh, where are y'all building? And I mentioned it, and you said, well, so are we.
We're
and
neighbors.
I thought, wait, what? This is crazy. And so, again, just those little moments that the Lord was giving me to just say, you have these people around you to love on you and to accept you and to bring you in and, you know, to make you feel like this is home. I think the biggest, biggest thing for me was the gathering. You know, like I said, we moved here end of April, and that first semester in the fall, I heard about the gathering. I was like, I'm not going to do it. There's too much going on. My husband was going to be gone for 8 weeks doing a huge project. And, you know, it was almost like I was making excuses, but I also knew that it was going to be a busy season. And I remember January of 2022, I thought, okay, I'm going. I'm going to walk into this massive room of all these women. I don't know a single soul, but I'm going to do it. And I remember I was in a group of all of these older women, which, granted, love me some older women wisdom, okay?
For sure.
And I thought, okay, Lord, I know that you know I'm here because I want to meet moms. I want to do life with these people. And so I remember after I got up and I went and found Miranda, and I was like, hi. She said, I already know. I already see it. I've got a group for you. And it was completely the Lord, because the group that she put me with was exactly what I needed. And I remember, again, another girl telling me, these are the same things I'm dealing with too. And I would talk to her on the phone, and just to know that I had community and to have those people there for me was just such a gift and a blessing. And I would say the gathering was definitely the biggest gift for me in that difficult season. of finally finding a group of women, getting involved, having that community was just exactly what I needed. Mm-hmm. And it was in the right time also.
God is so sweet like that, isn't mm-hmm. he?
He's right. always in the details.
There's something that I'm hearing from you that's kind of a theme. You talked about a friend that you shared your hard times with, and she was able to respond in a way that she was having a hard time maybe as well. You took the initiative to reach out to the church, like, I need to talk to someone. You took the initiative to walk in a space of women, and you didn't know anyone, which is so incredibly difficult and overwhelming, but then had further conversations sharing about some of the hardest times for you. Why do you think often women hesitate to do that, or they walk through these seasons maybe alone or in isolation?
Well, I think it's hard to admit, right? It's hard to humble ourselves and say we're going through XYZ or we're dealing with these things. And I think as women, we always think that we have to have it all together. Mm-hmm. We have to be so put together. And that's just simply not the case. If we had it all together, we wouldn't need a Heavenly Father, mm-hmm. right?
Amen.
And so I think that we wear these masks and we don't want to take those masks off because it's hard to reveal the things that we're going through. And I think that's why I also have a very hard time with social media, because you can see something from the outside and mm-hmm. it can look so perfect,
yes.
but there is so much brokenness and loneliness and emptiness on the inside, and no one would ever know.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone thinks that your life is just so perfect and put together, and that's just not how it is. I think the other thing is worrying about what someone is going to think. Worrying about, are they still going to be friends with me? Are they still going to accept me? Or dealing with shame from something mm-hmm. that you're struggling with or something that you've gone through. And I think that those are the biggest reasons. And you know, maybe like what I said, it's just intimidating to walk into a room of a whole bunch of women, right? And I'm a very outgoing person. So is my husband. And I love people. I love community. And I feel like I can meet someone in any situation. But at the end of the day, it's still intimidating for me walking into a room of women that I don't know and being in a new place.
I think our assumption, too, when we walk in that room is all the women in that room have it together.
Right.
Right? Yes. They have it together. We know we don't. And so that is very intimidating. Like, what if they find out, or what if they see me for who I really am? And the reality is there's not a woman who isn't or hasn't or isn't going to struggle
mm-hmm.
At some point. And there's so much beauty when we are willing to share our heart, because it opens up the door for other people to share their heart, you know? Mm. Most often, we're not going to share the depths of our soul, the things that we're struggling with someone who we think is plastic and perfect.
Sure.
It's going to be the person that we know, like, okay, they can see me, and I can trust that, and I know that they're real.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where those beautiful friendships develop. But sometimes we have to be the one that kind of initiates that, and that's very hard.
Yeah, and I think that it's so important to be real. And I always try to, I always tell my friends, I'm an open book and I'm as real as it comes. And I think that that's important from the beginning
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. it allows so many women to feel comfortable and to be willing to also open up.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. So you have done such a beautiful job. And I think about our neighborhood is just like one big example. But Neely, you are the connector of so many of the developing relationships within our neighborhood in and of itself. And then I also think about how many of our women and our families actually come to Rolling Hills because you extended an invite. And looking back, you're the person that 3 years ago was new and you were walking through a dark season mm-hmm. and feeling lonely. And now you're the one that's being so intentional with women and making sure that they have a space. What are some other ways that you have worked to build community either for yourself or for other people?
For me, I long for community. It's something that I need. It's an absolute must in my life because this life is hard and it's heavy. And I need people to encourage me and love on me and pray for me when times are bad, but even when times are good, right? And I think that it's so important to, like I said earlier, putting yourself out there and allowing yourself to meet people around you, getting involved in the church, whether it's in a women's Bible study or if you don't want to do it alone, join one with your husband, do a married Bible study. I just think it's important to be in community no matter what. And whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, God has community for you. And you're participating in the gospel when you're in community. And it's so important to not do this life alone. The enemy wants us to feel so isolated, right? I mean, look at what happened during COVID. And it's important to know that God does not want you to be alone, and he wants you to be in community.
Neely, one of the things that I appreciate that you just mentioned was talking about whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. And as the women's pastor, number one, I definitely learned from your experience that day in the gathering, which for our listeners, if you don't know, the gathering is our weekly women's Bible study in small groups. But so now every time we launch the gathering, I remember to say, if you're looking around and you don't feel like you're in the right group, please let me know. And just giving women permission to just say, hey, I don't think these are this is not my group. And it's not, no one's going to feel bad. And so just we try to be mindful that while we might have some extroverts that don't mind walking to a room of women they don't know. But I think even for an extrovert, that can be daunting. But especially for an introvert, we try to really make sure that people know what group they're in, they know where to go, where to park, all those little details, because we recognize that it can be so hard. We recognize that someone is taking a step of courage to walk through those doors. And we just want to honor that. So I appreciate that so much. I definitely learned from that. Okay, so Neely, what practical advice do you have for the woman out there who is struggling today, feeling like she's alone?
I would say the first thing is I just encourage women to seek the Lord first, because we are to seek him first in all that we do. Mm-hmm. And he knows our pains, our struggles, the desires of our hearts, what we're longing for. And he's just waiting for us to bring those things to him. And, you know, I feel like we've talked about this so much, but I really want to stress it, to just find a community because it is so important. And I don't know what I would do without community and how it has changed my life since moving here. And thinking when we first got here that how can this ever be how it was? And I'm here to tell you, it's even better than I could have asked or imagined, truly.
Amen. That is so great. And Neely, one thing when I look at where you started and where you are now, it has been so neat to watch it sort of come full circle. So from my perspective, I'm sitting here getting registrations in for the gathering, and people are requesting this group of young moms. I mean, I think at one time y'all had 20 women in there. Wow. And I'm thinking, how are we going to do this? Do we need to split it up? Whatever the case may be. But recently your group leaders had to step back for, you know, it's a season of life thing, right? And sometimes that happens. So now you and another woman are leading this group. Can you just tell us a little bit about how the Lord drew you into that?
Yeah, absolutely. I have always loved to lead, whether that's mentoring high school girls, college girls. And I remember the day that our leaders told us they were not coming back, and I felt the Holy Spirit nudge me. I could not ignore it and say, you need to lead this group. And we were going into summer. And so I thought, okay, God, I don't have to come up with the decision right this second. Just let me have the summer. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to see. And it was like the Lord just kept putting it on my heart and putting it on my heart. And Miranda and I got together and I just knew this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm so thankful that I was obedient and followed the call, because our group has grown so much. And my prayer has been since the fall, when I started leading, every time I'm on my way, is that these women would take the mask off, be vulnerable, be willing to open up and share their story. And they are. And God is moving so much in our group. And it is the biggest blessing to see, because I sit there and I think of myself when I moved here and how some of these women are feeling. And for them to know that they're not in it alone. So many of us are struggling with the same things. This life is hard and it's heavy and we need each other. And it's just been the biggest blessing to lead these women. I feel so honored, and it's not me. It's all the Lord, and I give him all the glory because I just decided to be obedient and to follow the call. And definitely think there are so many women out there who could also be leaders. And I just encourage, if you're feeling that, to be bold and to take that step of faith, because you never know how God's going to move in that.
Absolutely.
Such a good word.
I think just reaching out to someone and saying, you know, I'll pretty frequently get an email, Miranda, I have something on my heart. Can we go to lunch? And just telling someone even that this is what the Lord is stirring, so that they can pray with you and for you. And because, yeah, when you're feeling that nudge, you know it. And so I'm so grateful that you were obedient in that. And another thing that I was thinking about as you were talking is just the power of going first, meaning whether you're a leader or not, when you're in a small group discussion, taking the lead and going first in taking that mask off and being vulnerable yourself, it gives permission to other women to do the same. And you can almost see the domino effect sometime. And sometimes those are the most powerful sessions, is when you just kind of see one after another start taking that mask off. And it's like, oh, now we just, our roots just got deeper. So that's just amazing. So Neely, thank you so much for just being obedient in that. I love looking over and seeing your group together. You can tell.
All five tables.
Yeah. Keeps getting bigger.
I'm not going to lie. I walk in there every once in a while because I'm like, I just want to sit with them, but I know that I can't, but I just want to.
I know. And they're, you know, they are one of our larger groups. So every now and then you'll just hear this burst of laughter in the room. It's so great. So great. Okay, Neely, one last question that we have for you. How would you describe this season of life for you in one word?
Peace.
Peace. I love that.
That's a great one.
I love that so much. And I love that you're able to say that in this season.
I want to touch on one more thing of the whole time that I was in that hard season. I would always tell my husband and my friends, it's so comforting to know, even when things were so hard and I would question things and I didn't know what was going to come next and I was in that loneliness or feeling all of those things, I still had peace at the end of the day because I knew this was where God wanted us to be. So I encourage women, if you're feeling those things, to turn to the Lord and ask him to give you peace and to keep coming back to that and knowing he has you where you are for a reason, and he'll reveal that to you.
Beautiful. Well, Neely, thank you so much for being here today. Ladies, thank you for listening to As You Go. If you are interested in learning more about Rolling Hills, download our Rolling Hills app, follow us on social media, or visit our website at rollinghills.church. As You Go podcast is a part of the Rolling Hills Podcast Network, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Thanks so much for tuning in.